Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 16, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 91, the first paragraph. Today's readers are, on the 12 steps, Jan L. Lori T. will read the 12 traditions. Jordan L. will be our reader of the text. And Leslie M. will read our closing. Our backup reader is Vanessa D. Alex K. will greet our newcomers and also take names of sponsors. And Robin P. will give announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that's April 15th, 22,345, 22345. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,307, 22347. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jan L. to read the 12 steps of OA for us.
Good morning. I'm Jan L., a compulsive eater from Florida, and these are the 12 steps. One, we are admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, everyone on the line, for letting me do so.
And thank you, Jan L. from Florida. And I'll now ask Lori T. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Lori, press star one.
Okay.
Lori, are you there? You are.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never, OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our decisions, ever reminding you to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Lori T. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 91, paragraph 1. I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading and sharing for us. Thanks, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Jody. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So usually the family should not try to tell your story. When possible, avoid meeting a man through his family. Approach through a doctor or an institution is a better bet. If your man needs hospitalization, he should have it, but not forcibly, unless he is violent. Let the doctor, if he will, tell him he has something in the way of a solution. interesting paragraph for sure. I guess first off, I want to say that sponsorship is really the key to my recovery today, very much so. And when I say sponsorship, I mean being sponsored as well as sponsoring others. this might be excessive, but it works for me. I have two sponsors, and I have about four sponsees right now, and we're plugging away. We're going through the big book, and it keeps me 100% engaged in my own recovery. So I just want to say that's not how I felt when I started sponsoring, but that is very much how I feel now. And I am very grateful to have it as a way of life. As far as this paragraph goes, when I am sponsoring, I very much look to my own experience, where I was at when I came in, which I think is a pretty, it's a good way to do it because it helps me reflect on that and really remember what it was like coming in. And I tend to be more effective that way, is what I have found. That could change, but... So as far as approaching through the family, I approach through the family would not have worked at all in any way, shape, or form for me. I didn't have very good relationships with my family, especially around food. Like those were pretty, food had really corrupted those relationships. And in a lot of ways, some of my family relationships had really corrupted my relationship with food. So it was really, it was very, very, very helpful for me to be approached by someone in whom the problem had been solved. And they did that. They did that as a result of me seeking out Overeaters Anonymous, but, that approach would have worked very much so if it had come through a doctor, or a medical professional, a health professional for sure. So I very much appreciate what the paragraph is trying to tell us here, and that's that those family relationships are more than likely a bit corrupted when we first come in. So the approach is really important because I couldn't have heard the solution from my family, but I very much hear the solution today from other compulsive overeaters. In whom the problem has been solved. And I hope that I get to provide that for other compulsive overeaters as well. When I show up and I'm present in meetings and I'm present in service work, and the help and plan conventions and doing all kinds of stuff. So I'm very grateful this morning for this way of life. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph and what this means to you. Anyone may share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. We read the first paragraph on page 91. Who would like to share?
Veronica B.
Anna M.
Veronica B.
Anna M.
Anna M.
Lori T.
Lori T. Anyone else? All right, let's go with these three, Veronica, Anna, and Lori. Please let us know where you're calling from, Veronica.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and thank you for your service. My experience is, as long as I've been in Overeaters Anonymous, I have always had a sponsor. It helps me stay accountable to somebody else because on my own I cannot stay recovered, and no way, any shape or form will I want to get, did I want to get abstinent by anyone telling me that I should, stop compulsively eating, stop bulimia. I have to come here on my own. And the best thing for me today is that I really, for me, it's all about attraction rather than promotion. I see how people live their lives and how they're staying recovered, and that's an attraction for me, and it gives me a lot of hope to keep coming back. It gives me a lot of hope when I st- start to feel like my program starts to get stagnant, you know. And my experience when people call me and they want sponsorship, like my job is to listen and to identify with them, because it's the identification where I feel like they understand me, and that I'm understood. And you know, I just want to share that I talked to my sponsor yesterday, and she just had a really big medical procedure, and she told me she doesn't know if she wants to do these meetings anymore, and I'm really saddened by this. And I told her that if I found someone that I, because I've been feeling like lately I want to eat food that I normally don't eat, you know, processed foods like popcorn, and you know, I'm starting to think about those foods, and that scares me. It scares me because I don't want to be obsessing about food, you know. And so I told her if I find someone that I resonate with, I will probably go through the steps again. But it made me very sad that she doesn't want to come around, and I'm not ready to let her go. And this woman is so dear to me, and we've been working together since 2021. And, you know, she got me recovered. She's my spiritual guide, and this information made me really sad. But for me, I need a sponsor. Like, I need someone to keep me on the beam, you know, and someone to keep me accountable. It's very important for my recovery and my spiritual enlargement. And thank you for letting me share with that, I guess.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. from California. Anna M., it's your turn.
Hi, I'm Anna M. I'm from calling from Tallahassee, Florida. I'm super grateful to be on this meeting. I listen all the time. When I hit a bottom with food 2 years ago, I went to treatment, and they introduced me to OA, and I'm eternally grateful for that. So at that point, I needed that treatment, and it helped me be separated from the world, because I couldn't trust myself out there, and that's just what I needed at that point. I've had relapses since, and I didn't necessarily have to go back to treatment, but just wanted to share that part of my story. I come from a family where obviously I can't diagnose anyone else, but I see a lot of my same behaviors in my family, and sometimes I'm told, you know, that I'm making a big deal out of this, that I'm being too hard on myself, and I'm, you know, told, like, why do you keep going to these meetings? And I, you know, because I'm connected to the fellowship and I talk to people and I continue to do my program, I know who I am, that I'm a compulsive overeater, I'm also a bulimic, and that I need this program, that I cannot manage my life or my eating without it and without God. And that's just what works for me. And I just, you know, lovingly look at them and I'm like, thank you for your input. But I'm just so glad I found something. So that really helps me. And just to come into a program that, you know, where people talk about exactly what I've gone through is just such a blessing. I had never heard people talk about it this way. And I was just mind blown that something like this existed for people like me. I didn't know that other people did all the things that I did. It was my secret. And just to see people like me who spoke my language then have this solution and this recovery was so appealing. And I wanted that. And I'm just so grateful that this exists. And I've heard the message from people, and I'm God willing, I'll have a month abstinent tomorrow, and I'm working the steps, and I'm on step two right now, and I'm just having a different experience with it, which is really cool. I've heard people say that when they work the steps different times, they just have a different experience, and it's cool to experience that myself. But this time, really, I'm interpreting it, and, like, you know, I'm willing to believe that because I see this program work for other people, I'm willing to believe that it can also work for me. So I'm just holding on to that today, and I'm grateful to be here. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna M. from Florida. Lori T., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Lori T. from California, south of Los Angeles. This paragraph brings up a lot of things for me. When I was 17 years old, I learned to, from another friend, that my best friend, how to throw up. And that's how my compulsive overeating started way before that, but with addictive foods. But the throwing up was like, oh, I found a fix. I could eat more and then get rid of it. And I remember at one time I went to the ER, and I was probably around 19 or 20, because my throat was bleeding and I was concerned. And the doctor told me at that time, I told him what I was doing, and the doctor told me, you know, it's a crazy way to live, but it won't hurt you. That's like someone saying, you know, cocaine is not addictive. Anyhow, as time went on, I did express it to my mother at one point, what I was doing, and also what I was doing in my other addictive drug, which was alcohol and drugs. My family was so screwed up that my mother, the following Christmas, I'll never forget, she gave me a box of Seize candy for Christmas. And every time I'd visit her, which wasn't very often, she'd offer me alcohol or drink. So I was invisible in my family. She never heard me or saw me. I think that's a common story among most of us. But I probably would have accepted, like this paragraph says, an approach through a doctor or an institution for recovery. If someone had approached me with that, I almost did it for myself. But instead, I found a vision for you after, I don't know, I'm 62 now, so that's how long it took trying to get this program. And then I found an awesome sponsor who has helped me work the steps. But even the doctor, didn't know what to do because it was so secretive, I think. Nobody talked about it, but I'm sure it has been going on for centuries. So I'm really fortunate to find a vision for you and the new friends that I've made here and support. I always have someone I can call 24/7, and without that support, I would still be dying out there. So I really appreciate all of you for being of service, and, you know, thanks for this meeting. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lori T. from California. If you came in late, we are on page 91, the very first paragraph. Who else would like to share? The paragraph begins, usually the family should not try to tell your story. Comments on that one paragraph. Anyone?
Good morning. This is Gail H. from Seattle.
Gail H. Thank you, Gail.
Paula B.
Paula B. Okay, we'll go with those two, Gail H. and Paula B. Please go ahead, Gail.
Good morning. My name is Gail H. Grateful today for the grace of God in this program and recovery. And I was listening to the 30th anniversary of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Bill Wilson was talking. It's one of the last times he talked. He talked again in 1970, and I came into this program in 1968. So as I was listening, first of all, as Bill sees it, that's where I see the word sponsor used by Bill. And what Bill said to the third person that I think I heard was that I need you more than you need me. And that was really how my recovery began, is I would sponsor the way I was sponsored, and that was my sponsor would say to me when we met, and it was very unsophisticated then, how is God working in your life, Gail? And we would talk about that. And so in sponsoring what I needed in Overeaters Anonymous because I needed them more than they needed me, was I would set it up so we would meet at a meeting. That way I got to the meeting due to my commitment and codependency. And then after the meeting, we would meet. And meeting them was more important. I'm now at a different time in life. And the people I've sponsored for decades now, they're helping me because I'm in such poor health. And that would not, and my way of giving back is they tell me that it's a gift to help me. I don't believe it in my head. My head has always said, you give. But receiving, I'm needing to learn this grace of God in receiving graciously and aging gracefully and being ill, so ill that, and it's not a big ill, but it's these little things that incapacitate me, that keep me like a little old lady. And being graceful about it. So this program never ends to give back when you think you're giving. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Gail H. from Washington. Paula B., what state are you calling from?
This is Paula from Charleston, South Carolina. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I happen to be outside, so I apologize for that, and I very rarely share. I found the rooms in 83, and I've never left. And thank God for the steps and the sponsor, I found God. And I just, what I think about my family, I think about what they lived through, what they watched, and they didn't know how to answer. They didn't know what to ask. They didn't know what to do. They were so confused, and the amends has been the recovery that they got to watch me walk, and the future people in my family got to experience by being with me. So that's been amazing, too. And, I've never been without a sponsor. I've never not been in the steps and working them. I've never found it necessary to binge or starve. Sometimes I've put food in my food plan that wasn't in my best interest, but I learned and was rigorously honest and just continue on. But I can't say enough about sponsorship. And I do remember thinking, well, what do I have to give? And I was taught, if you want to keep what you have, you've got to give it away. That's the selfish part of this. And I've been willing to do that, and I try to help as many people as I can. So I'm very grateful to be here this morning. Thanks, everyone.
And thank you. That was Paula B. from South Carolina. We're on page 91, the first paragraph. Who else would like to share? Page 91, the very first paragraph, usually the family should not try to tell your story. And then it shifts gears. When possible, avoid meeting a man through his family. Who would like to share? The water is warm. Maybe if you don't share often, this would be the perfect time. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing.
Lauren A.
Lauren A. Thank you, Lauren. Anyone else? Okay,
Barbara W. Washington.
Barbara W. Washington. Thank you both. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, am I still unmuted?
I hear you.
Okay. Thank you. I listened to part of the 6 a.m. meeting today, so I heard some really good shares, and I'll probably kind of talk about some of the stuff they said. I think the main way to spread the message is to say, this I did, this worked for me. Not, I always think of somebody shaking their finger in my face saying, this is what you should do, and should is one of my unfortunate words, so I don't want to hear that, and I think most addicts don't. I always think of the, there's a disease that isn't as well known as ADD. It's called ODD, and it's opposition defiance disorder. And I definitely have that, and so do most of the addicts I know. So, like I said, I don't want to hear should. I just want to say, I would just want to hear this worked for me. I think that's all I have, and thank you. And I wasn't going to share, but there was just too much dead air space, so I had to chime in. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you so much. And that was Lauren A. I didn't catch from where she was calling. Barbara W. from Washington, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning to all. Boy, I have to share on this one. I've been in program a long time, and I haven't been on my own for quite a while. I have a tendency to want to think that I can handle things just fine. And I have gotten stuck in a rut of, well, I go to meetings every day, and I'm not even calling people, and I don't know why I'm stuck in that, because I love talking to new people. And if it weren't for this program, I'm sure I would be in a much greater in thinking that, well, I can handle things. I've done this for so long, it doesn't really matter if I don't call people. And yet I get calls from people. And I find that all part of this program and my faith in knowing that I absolutely adore being part of a spiritual program. My faith community is very similar. And it allows me to feel good about myself. And I've heard so many times that if I don't work on myself and feel good about myself, how am I going to know how to treat other people? And I don't know what else to say other than I'm grateful that this program keeps on keeping on and that I keep coming back. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. We still have time for more shares.
Pam B. from California.
Who's that?
Pam Jody S. from Chicago.
I heard a Jody, and who was before Jody?
Pam B. from California.
Pam B. Thank you, Pam, from California. And Jody, what was the initial of your last name?
S.
S. and then Sam?
Yes.
From Chicago, I think you said.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Anybody else? All right, let's go with Pam and Jody. Please go ahead, Pam.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, moderator. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California, Pam B. I'm thinking about how I identify as the family. And how very painful it is to watch a loved one suffer from the disease of compulsive overeating, bulimia, anorexia. My daughter suffers, and I know that even she knows a bit about my experience, but I don't, and I've shared a vision, the number, the website, and she's just not ready. But I don't talk about my experience, other than she's also a recovering alcoholic and addict, and she works a very good program, but she admitted her own eating is worse and it's harder. And I lost a father to the disease of a brother, and it's just so painful. And I know a lot of us on the line love people who are suffering. So what I can do is trust that God loves her and sees her and is working. And that's the only way that
that I can function.
So I am so grateful for my own recovery and grateful for hers. And I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate all of you. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you very much, Pam B. from California. Jody S., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jody S. from Chicago. I can only speak from my own experience in getting into the rooms. And my father and mother tried to get me to go to various doctors, and I was not ready. I didn't relate to what they were saying, and there was no way I was going to do anything they were telling me. It wasn't until when I was in a lot of pain and had hit rock bottom, and this is when I was probably in my teens to early 20s, that my father, who is a recovering alcoholic, pulled out the big book after I had a huge binge and told me to put food where alcohol was. And in that, I saw it all so clearly. Not only was it coming from another addict, but the words made sense to me. It was like I couldn't believe what I was reading. And by the grace of God, that gave me the willingness to get to my first meeting. And in that room, I saw people that were like me. So it's really, seeing the miracle through attraction rather than promotion, seeing the miracle working through other people's lives that brought me into this path of recovery. Anyone can talk to us, but it's really one compulsive overeater working with another that it translates. At least that was my experience. So grateful to be here. Grateful for this meeting. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody S. from Chicago, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Who else would like to share? We're on page 91, the very first paragraph.
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.?
Yes.
Okay.
Janice K.
Okay, let's go with Sherry and Janice. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, from Washington State, recovered gratefully. And, excuse me, to me this talks about the gift of desperation, if someone has it or not. My Al-Anon friend...
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes. Can you hear
someone? Someone. Yes, we hear you, Sherry. Someone was unmuted, and so let's make sure we're all muted, other than Sherry, please.
Okay. So yeah, I didn't have the gift of desperation for a long time. My Al-Anon sisters, we went out to lunch after the meetings, and they'd eat all this healthy food, and I was like, oh, what's with that? And they told me about OA and how much weight they'd kept off for a number of years, which made my ears tingle. But, I wasn't ready for about 6 or 7 more years because I had a lot of medical bills. And finally, after all the medical bills, I thought, oh, my gosh, there must be some other, diet or nutrition that I could try. And then I remembered about this this OA. I mean, I remembered it before, but I wasn't ready. I didn't have the gift of desperation. So I think this paragraph is talking about, you know, we can't force that on people. We're not the infomercial for the program, and we know that that's against our traditions. So, yeah, praying for friends or family to get the gift of desperation, and I'm so grateful. 10 and a half years, and I never thought this could happen to me, that I would get food neutrality. I thought, no way, they don't know how bad my problem is. So for the newcomers, just hang in there and do the work. And, you know, it says God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So I pass and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from, I think you said Washington. I hope I'm right about that. Janice K., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Okay, a couple of things have been brought up in this reading. The first one is the family. And I think that the disease of addiction of any sort encourages the family disease, we might call it, whether it's substance abuse or addiction to a process. And then there are those of us who suffer from the combination of the two, like the smokers come to mind, and those of us who are food addicts deal with both a substance and a behavioral issue. And where that rises from, well, who knows? All I can say is that most parents try to give better than they had, than they received. Broken knows broken. Part of me suspects, of course, who can ever know for sure, but part of me suspects that my mother looked at me and saw I was broken in the same way that she. And she tried and tried and tried to fix me because she wanted me to have better than her. But broken can't fix broken. That takes a power greater than ourselves. The second stretch I enter into with this paragraph is, this is what how you do it if there is no program in your community or in any of the surrounding communities. What do you do if you are utterly alone? We have community. People can go, and many of our leaders in my area, because our meetings are limited, supplement by going to AA meetings. So there is kind of more of an outside support as far as including the medical facility or medical community. That's an outreach issue. You know, order some literature from OA.org, take it with you, leave it in the office. Ask them if they would be interested, especially if you have weight loss or physical recovery to offer. This is what I have done. Look at my medical records from 6 years ago. Look at where I am now. Do you want to talk about this? Do you want me to see if I can help others? Send them here. This is a tremendous outreach opportunity. And I guess that's what I have to say. My broken brain and my poor loving mommy's broken brain. Mommy tried her best to fix me, and she couldn't. When I had a broken child, I did my best, and I couldn't. Thank you for listening. I pass.
And thank you for sharing, Janice Kay from Oregon. And who else would like to share? We have time for one or two, maybe. We're on page 91, the first paragraph.
Evan R.
Is that Kevin?
Mona.
Evan with an E.
Evan with an E and Mona. Okay, please go ahead, Evan. Tell us where you're calling from, what state?
Southern California.
Okay, go ahead, Evan.
Evan R., Southern California. Good to be sharing. It's been a while. When I heard this, I was like, thank God my family isn't telling my story. I don't know about your guys' family, but mine was the kind that just pretended problems didn't exist. And even when I try to be vulnerable and express my issues, especially with food, that would just get swept under the rug. And, you know, it's a very invalidating experience for me, which just made me want to hide eating even more. I tend to be one of those crazy exercise people, so I didn't really show it as much. But, you know, the struggle with food led me down a road of just like deep and dark. And I still struggle a little bit with it just because I'm constantly met with, you're not addicted to food. You're not. But it's just, you know, it's just for me and then people who understand it. And then if there's opportunities to talk about it, which is rare, I try to open myself up. A lot of it has, for me, was to do with body shame and just trying to control the way I look. And I do see that because I'm involved in fitness. I do see a lot with, like, younger males. I just feel bad for them. It's almost like I wish I could just tell them my story and, like, quote-unquote, save them, which obviously is not a healthy mindset. But, you know, I think God, if I really prayed about it, which, to be honest, I really haven't prayed too much to help others in this program, which might be a good direction for me, God would present the opportunities, like everyone says, by attraction, almost like people ask. Or there's, like, the little offhanded comments people would make that are kind of opening the door, you know. And if I think back to it, I'll end with this. I think back when I first started this program, oh my God, was I so embarrassed and so shy and never wanted to talk about it and didn't fit in and had the whole just, you know, lonely addict, no one's like me story going on. And I realized, you know, some of the people that I would talk to, they're in that mode, right? And it would be a blessing or even a miracle for them to see, I'm not going to say someone like me in air quotes, but, you know, someone sharing that story with them. So with that, I pass. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Evan R. from California. Mona, we have like less than a minute, so I don't know if you want to pop in and out again. Let us know where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Mona S. from Montana. I just want to quickly say that when I first came into the program, I was on a meeting every single day, and I did not miss for months because I had the gift of desperation from just a severe sugar addiction. And that gift of desperation has not left me. I still, I will have a year of abstinence in June, but due to the fact that I had four surgeries, I was not able to attend four surgeries in the last year and a half. I was unable to attend as many meetings. My program got kind of lazy. I still have not relapsed with sugar by the grace of God, but what is so clear to me, my sponsor has been very supportive and wonderful and has not pushed me or given me advice. I had to find on my own. Not getting to meetings regularly was not working for me. Started to think of foods that I wanted to eat that I also hadn't eaten in a long time, and how I need to get back to getting to meetings regularly and working this program, working the steps.
That's fine.
So thank you, everyone, for your shares today.
And thank you for yours, Mona S. from Montana. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of you, some of us, as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.